feel good? Amen, amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 25, verses 35 through 37. Who got your six? Who got your six? Who got your back?
Yes.
Perhaps one of the worst feelings in the world is for you to seek after things in life, accomplish, achieve those things. Then you discover once you have everything that you desire, you are still alone. What good is a big house if you have no one to share it with? What good is a car if you can't take her or him out to dinner? What good is it to retire and when you retire, you're all alone, you have no one to share the latter part of your life with? For the Bible itself declares it's not good for a man to be alone. See, guys, I know sometimes we don't find purpose in her, but God created her by taking her out of the womb of a man, and he gave the woman to man so that she can stand by your side. Now, she's not a puppy doll where you leave and you say, come on behind me. That's not her. You got to value her much more than that. You have to see inside of her what God has placed inside of her, because the Bible says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But don't get spiritual and assume that a thing is a nothing. He's talking about the institution of marriage, and that when you find a wife, when you find your helpmeet, someone to help you to fulfill the promises that God has placed inside of you, someone that walks by you, someone that got your back, someone that covers you on the left and on the right, someone when you go down, she's right there to lift you up, someone when you cry, she's right there to cry with you, someone when you don't have, she's right there. That's your six, baby. That's your six. That's your six. And so the Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. So God wants us to share our life. And he wants us to share our life. The issue that we have sometimes is that we think the few nickels and one quarter that we do have is all ours.
What you say?
Until you open up your hand, you'll never receive the blessings of God. If you think God is good to you now, wait until you submit to him and open up and say, Lord, I give it all back to you. To thee and thee only, Lord. I owe it to you and I trust you, Lord. If you can just let go of what you have. Or better yet, what have you? Nabal, as I said earlier, the name actually means fool. I was pondering this morning, and I say, what kind of fool will marry a man and his name is fool? But then I thought about, we still look to marry Lil Wayne, thinking we're going to change him, but he's going to do his thing. We still marry Slick Rick, thinking he don't straighten up when he get. You my brother, Rick, I can talk about you. Thinking he don't straighten up when he get married. See, you gotta be careful how you name your children today. Because the name gives off the nature or the personality. So when you calling your child this, that, and the other, and your child end up being this, that, and the other, remember, you spoke that into your child. And so here it is, here it is. This man by the name of Nabal, his name is Fool. He meets this young lady. She is very attractive. And more importantly, she's wise.
Yes, she was.
If it's just about looks, baby, after baby number two, it's gone. Are you still going to be there? Or is somebody else who's 20 is going to come by, and then you're going to trade the older model in, the model that has always had your back and been faithful? Are you going to trade that in for something that looks good? Come to find out when you get at home, everything is weaved and everything is fake. And you should know understand that, when God places something in your hand, it may not look like much. But if it's yours, baby, you better believe when God says this is your helmet, she's going to help you to make everything. Nabal chose this young lady by the name of Abigail. He chose Abigail, and as he chose Abigail, please don't let him fall. As she chose Abigail, he chose Abigail, and Abigail was delighted to be in a relationship with this older, wealthy guy. Watch this. Just because he has money doesn't make him wise. Because you know you can make a lot of money selling weeds. Okay, fellas. She can do pretty good sliding down the pole. Occupation that God likes. See, you have to let God lead you, and when God leads you, even though the job description and the pay chart may not say enough, but you got to know that God said, I'll supply all of your needs. Baby, my check may not look like your check, but I'm going to take it and put a dent in the hand of God. Watch God open doors. Watch God lift ways out of nowhere. Watch God just unleash. That we have to turn it over to God. And so Nabal found this little girl, and her name is Abigail. He finds Abigail, and Nabal is this king. But watch this. He's sitting in a king's position, but he's a punk.
What? Oh my God.
Oh Lord. Just because you have the title doesn't mean you've earned the territory. See, watch this. That's why they hate you. Because they know they had to stab somebody in the back for them to get there. So they watching their back knowing that God is sending you to take that position from. See, when God begins to bless you, he says you don't need to just touch shoulders and network with anybody. God says your gift will make room for you. So when your gift begins to make room for you, when you get there, you don't owe anybody nothing but to love them. So every morning you get up, God, I owe you a praise. And then when they call you on the phone, somebody, you owe me and remember me. I remember you, but I'm not going to let you bring me down. Nabal is in a king's position. He's in a king's position, but he's a punk. David is on the run from Saul.
Yeah.
Now watch God. God always, you know, sometimes we always say, you know, well, one day everything gonna be all right. But I got bad news for you. See, life, you have 15 different things going on at the same time. The issue is, can I praise God in the storm? I know it's a thunderstorm over here and a hurricane over here and lightning flashing over here, but God, I'm still going to give you some praise right here because I know you control all of that. God is worthy to be praised. Give him some praise this morning. Situation, in spite of your circumstance, he's still worthy to be praised. Praise him today, in spite of where you are, because God can change you. Abigail is at home, she's chilling. Her foolish Jewish husband who's the king, he's afraid to go to combat. And so he's a rich man. He has a lot of lambs and sheep. And so he has his soldiers, his troops, to watch his lambs and his sheep. And they're watching his lamb and his sheep, but they're not strong enough to keep the enemies away. David says, since I'm out and about, I have some men and we'll watch over your sheep for you, Nabal. No charge whatsoever. Just remember me. I wonder if you have any friends in your life that you've been a blessing to, and all you want from them, just remember me. I wonder if you have any cousins, Ray Ray and Pookie them in your life, where you've really been blessing them, and all you want them to do is just remember me. And when I say remember, you don't owe me anything. Just don't disrespect me. Just don't forget that I stood by your side. Just don't forget it was me that lifted you up. Just remember me. And so David aligned his men all around the sheep that Nabal owned. And David says to Nabal, you didn't lose not one.
That's right.
David takes one of his soldiers and he sends a message to Nabal. He sends a message to Nabal and he says, now we've returned all of your sheep. All of them is intact. Everything is in place. You didn't lose anything. He says, all I want you to do is, since I'm on the battlefield, can you give me some food? Well, that's a reasonable request. I mean, I've watched over your sheep. I didn't charge you for it. And I returned them all to you, because the truth of the matter is David is more of a man than Nabal will ever be. David could have took all the sheep, but he returned them all back to Nabal. David says, can you send me some food? Nabal, remember his name is food. Nabal sends the message back and says, well, who is David? Who are you? You know, these are my sheep. So everybody that break away from their leaders, you want me to take my food and to feed them? You know, David is a lot like you. He has an attitude problem, and his temper is about like that. So David gets really mad. David says to his soldiers, he says, girdle up, we're going to battle, we're going to combat. He says, we'll go and take the sheep that we've been watching all along. Do you ever feel like going into the enemy territory and taking back something that you know is yours? Do you ever feel like just laying it all down and say, let me give you a piece of my mind for real, for real, for real? And so here's Nabal says, who is this David character? This David character that I'm supposed to give my food to. David says, okay, we won't go and get what we want. David sends the message back. The message is going back. One of the troops accidentally tell Abigail, says, David is on his way to kill that fool you married to. Now watch this. I just need to inject something right here. And that is, I need to be biblical this morning. Now, the Bible declares there's basically four reasons for a divorce. So he says, divorce. Biblical reasons is, if that's adultery, you know, somebody stepping out on you, he says, you know, you can divorce. And then he says, divorce, you can divorce if there's abuse, somebody dotting that eye every now and then. He says, you know, if that's going on, he says, you know, you're my property. He says, I don't want you looking like that. And then he says, if there's addiction, you know, where people need some type of substance in order to live, because the truth of the matter is, with a substance, you trusting this thing instead of trusting God. So he says, you know, that's the reason for a divorce. And then he says, abandonment, if they just leave you anyway, they gone.
Okay.
But I was disturbed because he did not list, for a reason of divorce, marrying a fool. Well, he's just crazy and I want to leave. God said, no, baby, hang on in there. He's just stupid. That's all right. That's your stupidity. Hang would do with a fool. So Abigail says, listen, I'm going to gather up some things. Now, this really caught my attention this morning. Abigail says, I'm going to gather up some things and present a gift to David because I know where David is going. So the Bible declares she grabbed some bread. You got to watch Abigail. She got this dude sex, even though he doesn't know it. So she grabbed some bread and she put the bread together, made it cute and fancy. And she says, I'm going to take it and present it to David, but I need to bring him some wine as well. So she brought David some bread and some wine. In other words, she says, David, I need to have communion with you. You get it? See, I don't know what you're going through, but if you plead the blood of the Lamb on your situation, the blood will wipe away my sins. Nothing but the blood of the Lamb. I don't know what you're going through, but if you plead the blood of the Lamb, I said, if you plead the blood of the Lamb. See, we got to begin to speak the blood more than we speak what they say. When you're going through something, plead the blood upon that thing. I know my checkbook look rough, but if I plead the blood upon it. I know my children are acting crazy, but if I plead the blood upon it. There's something about the blood of the Lamb. I said the blood of the Lamb will change anything. The blood of the Lamb will fix anything. The blood of the Lamb will change anything. Have you ever applied the blood of the Lamb in your house? See, sometimes Satan wants you, but when he comes to your house, see, you got blood on your doorpost already. Oh, pass me not. Oh, just to say, I need for you to hear my humble cry. See, when you got the blood on your house, Satan can't touch your house. When you got the blood upon your house, Satan can't touch your children. When you got the blood upon your house, he can't touch your checkbook. When you got the blood upon your house, he can't touch your health. Abigail puts together this little package and she runs ahead of the troops. Now watch this. You have this woman who's going to meet a combat unit that is all wired up for combat. And so you have a woman that stops 300 troops. Don't you tell me a mother don't know how to pray. Don't you tell me that. Don't you tell me that. Don't tell me one woman who can raise 4, 5, 6 children by herself. Don't you tell me she can't pray. Don't you tell me when mama cries out to the Lord, it doesn't make a difference. If you got a strong mama, you've been raised by a strong mama, you know the power of a little Lord. When she gets on her knees, one mama turned that situation over. The power of a mother, when she, I don't know what it is. It's just like mom really just know how to talk to God. Look like God will move for her before he'll move for daddy. But it's something about the power of a prayer woman. And so she goes to David, and she meets David, and she falls down. She humbles herself to David, and she says, David, I present you with this gift. I know where you're going. I know what you're about to do. But listen, you know his name is Nabal. Now, you know he's a fool. And David says to her, I'm going to hearken unto your voice. In other words, I have plans to destroy. Excuse my French. The Bible says everything that peel gets the wall. In other words, every man, David says, I'm going to wipe them out. And this woman comes and she says, here's my gift. But notice what she does. You got to get this. She's coming because while she's coming to them, the whole issue is that David was protecting Nabal's sheep. Now, Nabal has his men and they're shearing the sheep and the lamb. In other words, they're preparing an altar. Sometimes the same altar, the same hurt that you're preparing for someone else, God will make it jealous. You got to be careful. You gotta be careful. Somebody says, you have the same ditch you did for somebody. Don't you mess around and fall in that same ditch. Have you ever had someone to dig a ditch for you, and then they fell in the ditch that they dug for you, and your crazy self in love with God, and then you reached out and you lifted them up? That just means God got love in your heart. You thought you was crazy. everything to you. They made you better. They made you stronger. They made you wiser. They make you ready. Ready. Go after your brother. So the Bible declares. The Bible declares that David says, I'm not going to do any of that just because of her. And here's the fool. While the wife is looking after him, got his back. He's back in garrison getting drunk. He's living the life of a king and acting like his name. See, he got all of his sheep back, and now he's celebrating. And so now he's sitting back, he's chilling, he's getting drunk, he and his boys, they just hanging out, doing their thing in the man cave, you know, everything is cool. And so Abigail, who slipped out of the house to cover this fool back when this fool was drunk, she says nothing that night. She wakes up the next morning. And then, Rod, she goes to him and said, I know you got drunk last night. I know you had a wonderful time last night. But this morning, while you sober, David was going to come and kill you last night. And what happened to the fool? He had a heart attack. When someone has your six, they got your back. They'll do it in a way that they don't have to bring you down.
That's right.
To cover you.
That's right.
A true friend will always see you through when you think you're through. A true friend will always stand in the shadow so you can shine. A true friend will always perform when others are pretending. I wonder if you got a true friend. If you're lucky enough to have one true friend in life, you're lucky this morning. Because you need a lot of farewell friends. And the farewell of friends are those that are stick by you as long as you have something. One out of two nickels. See how fast they'll leave you. But God says, I'll be a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Have you ever tried, God? Have you ever been going through something? Won't God be a friend to you? He wakes up. He has just a little hangover. And Abigail says to him, fool, last night while you were drunk, David has sent his army. The same ones that protected your sheep. He sent those to now kill you. Because you wouldn't give him just a little food. See, you have to be careful with the people that you are guarding their back. Watch this in closing. Whenever you're watching somebody back, make sure your heart is clean and your hands are clean. Because if you're looking for a reward, oh, I thank you, or I'll pay you back. Maybe you may be waiting for a long time. You gotta do what you do because that's your nature to do it. So it doesn't matter to me if you say thank you. I know my rewards is coming from the hill. What's coming? My help, all of my help, come from the Lord. See, the wonderful thing in life is to know that I'm going through something and I got somebody who's watching my back. I know that Jesus says, I never sleep, I never slumber. So if God is always up, you got my back. Yeah, I know you tried to sneak a lie in there, but he says no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I know you dug a ditch for me, but he says I'll make your enemies your footstool. I know you meant evil for me, but he says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and is called according to his purpose. Don't you know you've been called for a purpose? You've been called for a purpose. You out. That's why the divorce did not take you out. That's why breast cancer did not take you out. That's why your haters did not take you out. That's why your critics did not take you out. That's why everybody that rolled their eyes at you did not take you out. Because in mind for you. I got purpose in mind for you. I know I created a good thing in you. You're not going to leave this earth until you perform it, baby. So ain't no need for you to be worried. You need to understand I'm going to do a good work in you. I said I'm going to do a good work in you. He said I'm bringing you out of some stuff. And you may be crippled when you come out, but he says I'm bringing you out. You may have to file bankruptcy in it, but he says I'm bringing you out. You may got a divorce, but he says I'm bringing you out. And the goodness of God is that when God brings you out, you don't look like where you've been. Give him some praise. I said you don't look like where you've been. If they only knew your story, if they only knew that the Peter and the Paul and the John, they were sitting next to this morning, they'll look at you and say, I don't know how you came through. It must have been God on your side. And you'll say, give him the praise, give him the credit, because God delivered me. Have you ever had God to deliver you from something? Deliver you from something. See, it's something about God. When God sets you free from something, you're free indeed. See, but freedom doesn't mean much unless you've been tied up. Have you ever been tied up in a bad loan you didn't want? Have you ever been tied up in a bad marriage you did not want? Have you ever been tied up in a cancer situation that you don't want? And then when God sets you free from that thing, you need to give him some praise, because you know how bad it was to be tied up. But when God loosed you from something, hey, baby, I can give him some praise. I don't care if you think you're crazy at me. I don't care what you think of me. I owe him some praise, because I understand the Bible declares God dwells in the praise of his people. Come on this morning, let's give him some praise. Let's give him some Holy Ghost praise. Let's give him some praise this morning. Come on and give him some praise. Come on and give him some praise. Give him some praise this morning. He's been good. Give him some praise this morning. He's been on my side. Give him some praise this morning. He set me free. Give him some praise. Standing in this place this morning. We want to open the doors of the church to that person that is here this morning. And you thought no one had your six. God is speaking in this place this morning. And God is saying, I got you back. Yeah, I know your fake friend walked out on you. But I got you back. I was simply making room for the real one. I know you lost some stuff going through that process, but I was simply making room for the real blessing. So if you're here this morning and you don't have a church home, you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, we want to introduce you to somebody that will always have your six. He says, I'm there.
Yes, God.
I know you're moving full speed ahead.
Thank you, Lord.
But I got your back. As a matter of fact, I got your left and your right.
Thank you, Lord.
He says, I got you, baby.
Thank you,
God. I got you, baby.
Thank you.
All you have to do is take one step of faith. Yes. Everyone this morning, you need a church home? Let me speak to you this morning. You need a place of worship? We speak to you this morning. God got your back. He just wants you to take a step of faith.